Good evening. Thanks for coming. I'm glad you're all able to find a seat. Tonight, the topic I want to talk about concerns probably all Christians. It's a subject that it's a big part of our spiritual lives. And I want to look at it in a practical way. You know, we heard this morning that Jeremiah said that we're on a journey. He talked about a journey in worship. And I'd like to use that same example in saying our whole life is a Christian journey. And some of them, while as we travel along that Christian road, some of the periods we come about isn't very pleasant. And what I labeled this tonight is dry times. Dry times as we travel that Christian road. And get the first slide. Now, I don't know how about many of you guys, but a lot of times in our life, in my life especially, we can almost, our road can be almost like this. As we travel spiritually, it seems dry. A lot of people say, nothing's happening. You know, God, when are you going to move? You know, and it's like this dry dirt road across the desert. And the next slide, and we can be kind of like this guy. You know, it's like we're just trudging along in these periods of dryness and the Lord's not moving at all. There's no zeal. There's no excitement in our life. You know, we want to be refreshed. We want to be alive. But these times, has anybody ever had a time like that in their spiritual life? I see a lot of you haven't. If you haven't, then you're in for one. We can say this is like a wilderness experience. You know, in a way, it's a wilderness experience. You know, and I'm not talking so much about a real trial when life hits you with something that just knocks you out on the canvas and you weren't expecting it. You know, some trial with your physicalness, some trial with somebody you know. Sometimes life just whacks us and we aren't ready for it. But this is a time when we're kind of confused. You know, why am I here? Why am I on this road? You know, why am I just plugging along? Why isn't God moving in my life right now? I think there's several reasons for these periods in our life, so there's not really any one answer to avoid them or get away from them. There's several reasons. And I want to look at just a few things we can, like a checklist to go over when we find ourselves on this dry road here. One of those things is to look at is the most obvious things. Just like when your check engine light comes on, you go and Jesse goes through your car, he checks certain things to see what the problem is. You know, first thing we can do is we can go to the Lord in prayer and ask if there's something that we've done. You know, is there something in my life that's holding you back? And we need to go to God and ask this. Sometimes we're to blame for this kind of season in our life. You know, sometimes it's our fault. So we want to ask God to reveal some wrong action or some sin that maybe we have done that we're not taking care of. And we're doing unforgiveness in the life groups. We're learning that if we have a sin of unforgiveness, if we aren't forgiving somebody in our life, a lot of things can come in to our spirit. You know, we can have grudges, bitterness, resentment, you know, start taking over in our spirit, even if we don't know it. And this can lead to a dry time in the Lord. And King David is an example. He went through a lot of dry times in his life. And in Psalm 139 verses 23 through 24, Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, he asked the Lord to get into his life. You know, look into my life, God, and tell me if there's anything that I have done, you know, that might be causing this dry period. In this psalm, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Excuse me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So a lot of these dry times can be maybe an unexpressed sin in our life, something we haven't seen yet. We ask God to reveal that, and the obvious answer to this is to repent. Repent of this sin and turn away from it. That might be a cause of these dry seasons when God ain't speaking. Another reason we can ask, have we allowed the weeds and the thorns to grow up around our life? And was there weeds and thorns growing up in our life? Sometimes we let things get in and they choke out the Spirit's influence in our life. In the parable of the sower, you had the hard path, which meant a hard heart. Well, we don't have a hard heart. You know, the stony soil, stones speak of rebellion. You know, we're not rebelling in any way. But yet this weeds are something that can happen to any of us. You know, the things that grow up around us, we let worldly cares grow up around us and choke us out. And I kind of fell into this trap on my job a little bit. I had a job where you could make a lot of money working overtime, but I couldn't understand why anybody would want to spend more time in a prison than they had to. So I never did it. But then one time, I think it was during 9/11, you know, they made us work at roadblocks and guarding a prison because nobody knew what was going to happen with this 9/11 thing. So we had to work overtime and quite a bit of it at the jail. And I looked at my check and I says, wow, I see why guys do this now. We made a lot of money. And so this is a problem, though. You can get addicted to this. It's so easy. You know, a guard is in a really hard job a lot of times. So you spend more time at the jail because you're making more money. You can pay things off. You can put more money in the bank. You can maybe pay the house off. These are all the things that are going through my mind. So I started to work a lot of overtime. I took a job that caused me to be on the road a lot because the money was there. And this being in a place like this, I found out in doing this a lot really affects your spiritual life. You know, I had less time to spend with God, less time to do what I was doing before with devotions and sometimes even going to church things. And it can become addicting to some guys. Some guys spent all their time just about as much as they'd let them in the prisons. And so this is something that we have to watch out for. You know, we have to ask God or ask ourselves, are we letting things grow up around us, even good things? You know, are they crowding out God's voice in our life? And if we pray about this dry journey we're on, and God doesn't put his finger on a specific sin that's causing this, or if we know we aren't extra involved in things that are crowding out God, then what's the answer? You know, why are we here? Why is it so dry? You know, if it is sin, then repent. You know, get it out of your life. If it's weeds and thorns, refocus your priorities. Get back with God. But what about when it isn't these things? You know, what about when it isn't a sin, like we said, God isn't revealing something in your life you need to get right, and you know, there's no, like we said, there's nothing in your life you need to stop doing. I think it doesn't do us any good to continue to pray and seek God. You know, God, is it some sin? You know, God, what is it? Because I've done this before. I've thought, you know, why am I here? Why am I not hearing your voice? You know, is there a sin in my life that I'm not getting right? And you start praying and you keep praying and God's not revealing anything. You said, God, there must be something, and you keep going. And then your mind starts to play games with you. I mean, I keep praying, it must be some kind of thing I did wrong. And so I got back to a candy bar I took when I was just a kid from the store. Maybe that's it. You know, all these things start popping up in your mind. I remember a little rubber toy I took from my aunt's yard one time, and, you know, I was convicted over that, and all these things start popping in your head. But if God is not revealing a certain sin for what your position in this dry road, then it doesn't do no good to keep forcing God to tell you something. So what do you do? Well, you have to dig somewhere else. You can't keep digging in the same spot. So tonight, I want to focus mainly on some practical reasons for why you might be on this road, you know, why you're not hearing God. And I think What I've found out is a lot of it might have to do with the physical, our physical condition. I really think there's a link between our physical condition and our spiritual condition. I think our lives can be affected negatively or positively by our health, by our physical condition. You know, we live in a world where we have bodies, mortal bodies, and we're prone to weaknesses, and I don't mean weaknesses of the flesh like Paul talks about. When he says weaknesses of flesh, he means temptations and sins and a wickedness of our heart. But we're prone to weaknesses of the flesh in our physical bodies, things that can and bring us down. And one of those things that can hinder us spiritually, I think, is a lack of proper rest, a lack of proper rest in our bodies. Tiredness, being overtired, can have a negative effect on your spirit. I was talking to somebody just a little while ago. He's a man that everyone here would respect. He's a member of Zion Fellowship. And he says that one time, just a few years back, he was going through something in his life, like we talked about, this dry road where he just didn't know why it was so dry, why God wasn't talking. You know, was it an attack? Was it something he was doing? And he went to his pastor. And he says, Pastor, what is this? You know, and his pastor looked at him, and his pastor discerned and was smart enough to tell him, go home, get in your bed, and go to sleep. And he was kind of surprised at the counsel. And he says, don't even stay for service. Just go home now and get some rest. And he did, you know, and he felt a lot better. You know, rest is something that the body requires. Rest is something that the body requires. I heard of a study that said that, rest is really not necessary. Sleep is not necessary. A study that said that it's a habit that's been given, humans have done over the years, so we need more of it, and that's why we have to sleep. They said if you curve back your sleeping a little more and a little more and a little more, you could eventually eliminate it altogether. You'd never have to sleep. It's just something that's been developed over the years. You know, but I'm not buying that because I like my sleep. You know, I know the body needs rest. You can't eliminate sleep. Not this side of heaven anyway. Maybe when we get to heaven, we won't need to sleep. But here, we need it. And Jesus, he even knew the importance of rest in our life. You know, in Mark chapter 6, he sent his disciples out two by two. And went out preaching and healing throughout the whole countryside. And then, in verse 31, you know, it says they got themselves back to Jesus after all this work, all this preaching and healing throughout the countryside. And in verse 31, when they got back to Jesus, Jesus looked at them. And like this other pastor, he looked at me and said he noticed something in their life. He noticed that they were exhausted. He noticed that they needed a much-needed break. And he said in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, he says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So Jesus even knew the importance of the body needing rest, needing sleep. See, you can be spiritual, and you can be doing the work of the Lord and be spiritual, and you can get burned out. We all know that. You can get burned out doing the work of the Lord. But at the same time, you can't stay burned out and feel spiritual. You can get spiritual doing the work of the Lord and get burned out, but you can't be burned out and feel spiritual, stay feeling spiritual. That's just the truth. And that's what we're after. We're after that zeal. We're after that Bible says, stir yourself up. We want that freshness, that spark in our life for the Lord. And that doesn't happen if we're overtired. You know, if you get overtired, if you get burned out doing the work of the Lord, and you don't stop and remedy that by getting rest and healing your body up, then you're setting yourself up for a dry period. You're setting yourself up for wilderness. It's important that you get proper rest. Another problem when we don't get proper rest, when we get run down, is sickness develops. We can develop a sickness. Headaches, colds, and even types of depression set in. And our minds, they don't start to function properly when they're tired. You know, sometimes we blame the devil for these things, for headaches. You know, we try to get rid of it in the name of, you know, get the devil out of our lives. And colds, we give the devil we give the devil the blame for our colds. But that isn't always true. You know, we can't give him credit for everything. Sometimes our bodies get overtired and these things happen to us. We get grumpy. We get angry and moody when we're tired. You know, we're not very spiritual beings. And you can begin to make poor decisions, say things that you didn't want to really say. You know, it's almost like a stupor. And so when we get tired and sick, headaches, we aren't very spiritual. It's hard to stay on fire for God. So tiredness, not getting proper rest, can have a real effect on our spirit, a negative effect. Another possibility that we can find ourselves on this road that has to do with the physical, the natural, I'll say, is boredom. You know, sometimes we can get like on this dry road when we're bored. You know, when things aren't moving. You know, the saying goes, a variety is the spice of life. And I think this has a lot of truth in the spiritual also. Variety. So doing the same thing over and over again gets monotonous, no matter what you're doing. No matter if you're doing something you love, eventually, if you don't change up, if you do it over and over again, it's going to get monotonous. It's going to lose its thrill. You know, growth is a product of change, variation, and movement. We need these things to grow, to thrive. Growth, variation, and movement. You know, you take lifting weights for an example. If you took weights and you just did this constantly every workout, you know, you're going to get bored, you're not going to develop your muscles properly. You know, when you work out, you have to do all kinds of movements. You have to change up your routine. It's the only way that you're going to develop properly. You have to incorporate different exercises. And if you're and in the spirit, it's kind of like the same thing. If you're doing the same thing, the same Bible time of Bible reading, the same type of study, if you're doing that over and over again, eventually it's going to get monotonous, even though it's a good thing. But if you start to feel bored or monotonous, then it might be the spirit kind of nudging you to change up the routine a little bit. You might need to change up your routine. And I'm not talking about, you know, going to a different church or changing your doctrine or anything like that. But I'm talking about just doing things a little bit differently. You know, even like we said, even things that are good become boring if they're done over and over and over again. It's just our nature. You know, if you went to the beach every day, I know it wouldn't sound like that now, but if you were to go to the beach every day, it'd get boring eventually. I used to live in California for a little while, and going to the beach wasn't the thrill that you thought it was because it was there every day. So we have to change up things. You know, have you ever wondered why God made so many different species of things? You know, why did he make so many different flowers or types of animals? You know, I think it was to wake us up to seeing different things, wanting to see different things, experiencing different things. And it used to drive me crazy. We lived in a country, and my kids would say, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. There's nothing to do. And I'm thinking, hey, we got land, we got acreage, and you're sitting in this house telling me there's nothing to do. So I used to kick them outside, and they eventually learned to go out in the woods and discover things and find new thrills out there, you know, in what God had created. And God is a good father. You know, he's made a lot for us to experience, to learn out there in his creation. And I think just like me, he's probably doesn't like to hear us say that we're bored or things are getting monotonous, because there's a lot of things for us to do to change up and to get that thrill back. So sometimes, you know, when we're studying or we're reading the Bible and life just seems to be monotonous, sometimes we need just to get up, get outside, and do something. You know, maybe dig in a garden. I've never heard God speak more than when I'm outside, you know, digging in a garden or walking through the woods, or I used to archery hunt and sitting up in a stand in the woods looking at all God created, you know, getting that fresh air, getting the blood flowing. God really spoke to me then a lot, sometimes more than sitting down and reading my Bible. And when we allow ourselves to get overtired and we allow our lives to become bored, then our prayer life can suffer also. Our prayer life can suffer. You know, it can become mainly just lifeless words repeated over and over again. I've been here. And Jesus said, in Matthew 6, 7 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. He says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For I think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But ye not there, be not therefore like them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Now we know from the parable of the unjust judge that we are to come to God often in our prayers, you know, even for the same thing, repeating till we get a result. We're supposed to come to God, you know, again and again, even with the same request. But these, I think what he's saying, these repeated prayers become vain when they lose their sincerity. Repeated prayers become vain when they lose their sincerity. You know, we need to examine our prayers every so often and see if they're spoken from our heart. See if they're expressing true concern for what we're speaking. Because we can just say words over and over again, "Help this person, help this person." But God wants it from our hearts. Vain repetition is without sincerity. You know, our prayers don't have to be super long. They don't have to be over emotional. They just have to be spoken from our heart. It doesn't get through to God more if we pray long or we use the King James language. You know, God doesn't hear us more by the way we pray. He hears us more by listening to our heart. That's the important thing. He already knows our issue before we bring it to him. We're just told that. So when we're exhausted, we're bored, and we're tired in our spiritual life, we're not going to be able to pray like we should, because it just becomes vain, repeated words. So what I'm saying here, we don't hear it that often, but I think we have a real responsibility, and God expects us to maintain our physical bodies the best we can. You know, they're a gift from God. They house his spirit. Ephesians 5:29 says, "For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So no man ever hateth his own flesh, but he nourishes it and he cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. When we moved in our house a while back, you know, years back, about 16 years ago, I found it was just a wreck. I mean, the electricity in it, the plumbing in it, it was just a mess, the house was. And I had Pastor Bailey over. I just wanted to dump it. I wanted to get rid of it. And I had Pastor Bailey come through it, and I was thinking, well, he's going to tell me, yeah, you better get rid of this. You know, it's in bad shape. So he went through it, and he walked through it, and he came back upstairs, and I stood there and says, "What do you think?" And he says, "Well, I think you should fix it up." He says, I think you should take some care in it and fix it up. And he said, "The more you fix it up, the more you do to it, the more inviting it will be for the Spirit. You know, the Spirit will be more inviting here." And so I did. You know, who's going to argue with Pastor Bailey? Not me. So I took time. I did a lot of work. I fixed it up. And he was right. You know, the better things, shape things are in, the more welcome the Spirit is. And I think that goes along with our bodies, too. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In John, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, this is from the NLT, John told his listeners, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are in spirit." So he's linking the importance of both being healthy, body and spirit. And in Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says, we are told the importance of God's word to our health. God's word even brings us health. So he says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. So I want to close with a testimony that I found on the internet. And the title of this was, Our physical health and spiritual health connected. So this person writes in his testimony, he says, 6 years ago, I was stuck in a major spiritual rut. I didn't feel motivated to do much of anything and felt like I was walking around in a constant haze. He said, I'll do it later, was my unintentional mantra. He just said that about everything, about reading the Bible, about connecting with God in personal quiet times. You know, I'll do it later. He didn't feel like it then. Many of the things that used to bring me joy weren't cutting it anymore. Basically, it was hard to engage, hard to listen, hard to pray, hard to interact with people and with Jesus. Around that time, I was also becoming increasingly physically unhealthy as an overweight. The accumulating flab in my neck was causing me to snore. So I was getting to the point where I couldn't remember the last time I woke up feeling rested. I literally wasn't watching what I ate. Fast food not only gets to your car fast, it gets to your mouth fast. So fast you barely see it. Sounds like he had to even count his fingers. Food didn't even taste good to me anymore. I was also spending a lot of time sitting in front of a computer, in front of a TV, in front of a stack of paperwork, and hardly any time on my feet. It wasn't until I started training for a half marathon that I realized that these two things, my physical health and my spiritual health, were connected. The road to health started with a dare from a friend to run a half marathon. That stirred me, so I signed up the following week, not realizing that it was 13.1 miles. He said, I'm glad I didn't know that. I probably would never did it. He said, I started running, and because the online running forum said to, I started eating better. No more drive-through, more cooking, more healthy cooking. And I started noticing changes. I lost some weight. I stopped snoring. I started sleeping better. You know, from his training and his running, he says it got him tired. He slept better. He says, I felt energized and light and alive. He says, then something else happened, something I didn't expect. The spiritual haze lifted. I started following through with my commitments to spend time with Jesus, even though it was inconvenient. He says, moreover, while I was out on runs, connecting my body and nature and God, I started praying in new ways. You know, it wasn't just a constant, you know, on the side of a chair praying. He prayed while he was running. He was able to do that. He said, I found joy in Jesus again and in food again. I started eating healthier. I became more determined and motivated and engaged and present, not only physically, but spiritually as well. The fact that God gave me a soul and a body to take care of became important. If I think I can care about one and not the other, and worse, if I think God cares about one and not the other, I'm fooling myself. I want to be a good steward of my spiritual self as well as my physical self, because I know these are both gifts from God and deeply connected. And I believe that if you want to get serious about your spiritual health, you can't ignore your physical health. And I think this is true. You know, I know a lot of us here, including myself, aren't going to run a half marathon. I know I won't do that. But I think there's something we can all do to keep our bodies healthy. And I think that's really important, because once that blood gets flowing and we're working our body the way they were made to work, then our spirit will respond. And I think that's how God made us. Amen? So I think we need to keep that important thing in mind here, is that our spirit and our bodies, our physical and our spiritual, are related, and they both work together. And I think God wants us to know that. Dear Lord, we thank you for such a wonderful body that you have given us. We know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and complex, and we know that this is a gift from you. That is something that you've given us to take care of, for it is not ours, it is loaned to us. We ask that you would put this important word into our hearts, that we would take the time, the necessary time, to not only draw close to you spiritually, but to take care of our bodies, maintain our health, Lord, as the best that we can, so that our spirits can also be lifted at the same time. We know these things work together. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.